Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. How many of you remember what we talked about last Sunday? How many of you have practiced it one time? Even once. Three people? Four people? Five. Okay, we're going to do it again. And if I got to get you to do it this morning in front of me, we're going to do it. That is the way you make reservations. Did he say reservations? Okay. Let's pray. Let's begin correctly. Father, we give you praise this morning. You are our leader, our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords, the only source of truth, the only source of help, the only source of encouragement, and most of all, the only source we're looking for. We accept you this morning, Lord Jesus, in your fullness and in your power. We accept no other substitute. We don't want to hear from one human being this morning. We want to hear totally by the Spirit. We want to know what you've got to say that will change our lives, which will change the kingdom. If that's not what this is all about, let it fall to dust. But if it is, Lord, and has your approval, do your thing here this morning. And for that, we'll give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All righty. Last week, we talked about checking in to the Hallowed Inn. Remember that? Go ahead. I don't know. It's all right. It'd probably be better if they'd stay up here, but I'm serious. I'm not dictating that, but it'd be better. Children, I'm going to do something this morning that's going to catch your attention. Since I didn't get their attention last week, we'll do as little children. Sorry about that, but that's the way it works. I just might talk to you this morning. I was thinking about this message that I tried to get across last week, and I'm not going to preach the same message again. Yes, I am, but I'm going to approach it differently. All right? But what I really want is I want for us, this becomes a lifestyle. I don't want this to be a passing little goosebumpy thing. I don't want you coming up and saying how good I did. I want you to come up later and tell me how good it did for you. And if that doesn't happen, we're not accomplishing anything. So children, all the way from the biggest to the littlest in here, I want you to listen to me this morning because I'm going to teach you how to pray, and you have to teach your parents how to pray. You hear me? Children catch on a lot faster. Parents get in an old rut. You know that? They get old fogey. They just do the same thing over and over and over and expect to change. When children are just coming up with their mouths open, they receive anything, they try it, and change happens. Amen? All right. I want to start this morning. My message title is Prayer, Praise, Prophecy, Power. We're just going to pee pee all over this place. Okay? Prayer, praise, prophecy, and power. And I want to suggest to you this morning that they're all one word. But I'm going to try to break it up a little bit just for simplicity. I want you to listen to me carefully this morning because we are not in the New Testament. We're not in the Old Testament, we're in the New Testament. So what we need to do is begin to stop praying Old Testament. If I were to ask all of you to pray out here, I'll guarantee you 90% of what you pray would be Old Testament. And that just negates what Jesus did. And I remember what our key scripture is. If we get past it, we'll do the whole Lord's Prayer. But our key scripture is Matthew 6:9. That's Jesus teaching Old Testament people the new way to pray. In the Old Testament, the very definition of the word pray or prayer is to beg. That's what it is. I pray you, which means please, please, please. It means to bow down and act like you're worthless so that somebody that's a lot higher than you will have pity on you and do something for you. Now, if you're praying that way, you're praying wrong. And we all have a little bit of that in us. Jesus came along. Well, let me give you an example. This is Old Testament prayer. It may sound good to you, but it doesn't sound good to Jesus. Judges 16:28. Then Samson called to the Lord, saying, O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Please remember me. Strengthen me, I pray. Please, please, please. Just this once, because I'm such a worm, that I may, with one blow, take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. Now listen, Jesus elevated us to a different position. Jesus elevated us to a different position. Okay. Now you see, I'm going to get my jewels one way or the other. I'm going to get them one way or the other, even if I got to kick it out of you. Thank you for volunteering. Appreciate your service. Ooh, it came back, didn't it? See, God's looking for people that are willing to obey. And He talks about how He wants to reward them and award them and crown them. Now, we don't invest in crowns for display, but you can imagine. I'm going to get my crown. Did you know God's going to crown me some this morning? I promise you, started when I began studying for you. Now, all you've got to do is figure out where you're going to get involved in the crowning. The New Testament, the definition and the method has changed of prayer. Because the very definition changed. So our method has to change. Right? The definition now means worship. You look it up in your nice King James dictionary, and the first word you're going to see besides pray is worship. Now, I don't know about you, but if Valentine's came along and I decided to give my wife some praise, and I fell on the floor and I acted like a worm and said, please, please, please be good to me tonight, how much would it impress? Come on, are we the bride of Christ? I'm not going to be impressed if she wants me to, she wants me to be her Valentine, and she falls on the floor and acts like a worm and says, please be good to me today. I know I don't deserve it, but please, anyway, be good. We're not in Old Testament anymore. We're in New Testament. The definition of pray is to worship me, to praise me. So our methods must change. We now enter into God's presence through Jesus. Not through our works, or our bowing, or our stooping, but by what Jesus did. The work is finished. The only thing left to do is for us to control our worthless flesh. We don't tell God that we're worthless because we speak in the Spirit. We just treat our flesh like it's worthless. We present ourselves a living, a beautiful sacrifice by praise and worship. And we do that even when we are asking Him for something. Same prayer, different approach. I want you to understand. If one of the little children want to come to their parents and say, I'm hungry, I'd like a peanut butter sandwich. The best way not to get that is throw yourself on the floor, act like a worm, and say, I know I don't deserve a peanut butter sandwich, but could you see, please, just give me one once. Right? When Jesus Himself said, I came to be your total supply, to show you that all your needs are met. When I say it is finished, don't argue with me. Listen to me. Don't y'all get bored on me. I'll have you doing side straddle hops here. I'm giving you life, and you're acting like it's sleeping pills. I'm going to tell you again. When we approach God, we don't approach Him according to Jesus' instructions with vain repetitions. You want a stale answer? Pray a stale prayer. You got a fresh need? Speak to Him about a fresh need. Then give Him praise that it's met. And you spend the rest of your life praising that need is taken care of until it manifests itself. And don't you dare go to God, who is the supreme God, the all-wise God, and knows exactly what He's doing. Don't you go back to Him and tell Him He's failed in any way. You might get the backhand of fellowship. Hey, did y'all want a new intimate relationship with God? Then don't be surprised if He once in a while tells you He doesn't like how you say things. Okay? All right. The new way to pray. Matthew 6:9. In this manner, Jesus says, therefore pray. This is not a suggestion. This is a command. Of course, the if is you want your prayers answered. Pray this way. Our Father. It doesn't say Abba, Father. Our Father. It doesn't say our Father, God. It says you say, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you never said another part of the Lord's Prayer, that would be enough. If you just learn to go to God the Father and you say, "Hallowed be your name," instead of telling me His name, express who He already is. You don't have to inform Him. You're informing the air. You're informing the people around you. You're informing your body. You're informing the weapon that's been formed against you. You're informing every need. You're not informing God. Hallowed be your name. Every scripture that's involved is incorporated in that one word. Hallowed. Everything that you expect God is, was, and will be is incorporated in that one word. Hallowed, holy, pure, complete. We went over this last week. I didn't turn back there. I got it. Y'all want to go through it again? Now, I want to tell you something. We're changing from the old definition of prayer to the new definition of prayer. Old definition of prayer is beg. New definition of prayer is praise. So from now on, the hardest thing job you'll have for a season is to turn your asking into praising. I would challenge you, never ask God for a thing again. Never. Because Jesus said it's finished. What's past finished? You tell me what Jesus forgot on the cross. Did He forget that you've got a sickness? Or did you forget that He'd taken care of it and it's finished? Who forgot? Did He forget to provide enough money? Or did you forget to praise Him for enough money? Are you trying to go back to the Old Testament? You understand Old Testament is flesh. New Testament is spirit. The blood of Jesus took it over, cleaned it up, made it better. Right? No more killing animals and burning sacrifices and risking your life every time you wanted to go into the throne of God. Now look, you think this is funny, but this is what I have to do to you. This is what I have to do to me. Come on. It's hard to boot yourself in the rear, but you can. Hear that? You can. Yeah, you can. And sometimes we need to. I don't want to do it anymore. That hurt. To praise the Lord is to prophesy. So if we change the word prayer and begin to understand that as we praise our God, we begin to prophesy hallowed into our lives. What He is into our lives is what we pray, prophesy. And it turns to power. Power meaning everything that we'd really like and everything that God would really like. Hallowed be Thy name, by the way. It's not proclaiming who God is, but it's proclaiming what He has already completed. See, I want them to understand I just made a good statement there. Yeah, I'm going to say it again. Then you can give me another one. To praise or to prophesy, this could get heavy. To praise or to prophesy is not proclaiming who God is, but what He has already completed. I'm going to get it one way or the other. No, you get up. Look at that. To praise is to prophesy. Let me give you a couple. Well, it don't have to be a couple. How about one deadly phrase? God, will You heal me? God, I want You to heal me. God, I have these problems and I'd like for You to solve them. You are a dispensation behind. You are still in the Old Testament. You are not in the New Testament. You praise Him for who He is and what He's already done. And if you have to ask for forgiveness for believing anything else, that's okay. That's acceptable for you to confess that your faith has been weak. But then don't ask Him to make it strong. Begin to praise that He's made you strong. The last thing I'm going to do is pray for something and then go ask somebody else's opinion if it's done. Okay. Hallowed be Thy name is not a phrase. It's not a phrase. It's proclamation of who He is and what He's done. Total agreement. You become in total agreement with what He has already written you. That's why it becomes prophesy. You, prophecy. You get into agreement with what He's already done, not with what He's going to do. We are finite beings. We can't get into agreement for what He's going to do because our brains won't let us. It wants to know what He's going to do. Our job is to come into agreement with what He's already done and float. I remember I got a real strong lesson in this one time when we were diving and we ran into a real fast current. They call it a 4 or 5 knot dive. That's the fastest river you've probably seen. And it feels like it. You don't see the white water, but you're under there and you're just screaming. The ground's going by like you wouldn't believe. The only thing you can do, this is the way I like, I don't like to float this way. I want to be upright. I'm created in God's likeness image. So I dive standing up. And that way I get to see everything going by. And I had my arms crossed and my legs kind of crossed so they wouldn't float out. And I'm just enjoying the view. And God spoke to me and said, this is the way I want you all the time. In my spirit, enjoying the view. See, don't get it right all the time there. Anyway, I know that. I've remembered that. I haven't always floated in that. You have to bring yourself back into that floating. That's where God wants us. That current God placed on this earth. Did you know you can't see that current? I'm telling you, I don't care what you think. When you're in crystal clear water, you cannot see the current that's carrying you. You can see, I'll tell you what you can see. You can see these big old boulders get in front of you. You can see barracudas standing there looking you right in the eye because they're standing still and you're coming towards them. And you know, the first time you ever do this, it's like you're going to scream right into a big rock. And you're going, oh goodness, what do I do? About the time you get ready to panic, the current goes around it. It was in the plan of God to begin with. There was no accident planned by God. Accident meaning a crash. You end up on a rock. The plan was for you to enjoy the view. Jesus did the work. So if we can hold down this wicked flesh that wants to scream and yell and kick, we will just enjoy the view. That's what we will do. Hallowed be thy name is not just a phrase, it's a proclamation. It's a proclamation proclaiming his name above all, his work above all, his authority and character above mine and my enemies. His authority and his character above mine and my enemies. Let's get a little piece of Old Testament out of the way. We don't have a real good character. We as flesh do not have very good characters. So we don't talk about our flesh. We talk about his character until it becomes our character. Amen? Come on. Hallowed be thy name forces me to remember, and it forces me to be persuaded that I have no lack, that I have no want, that I have no need. As soon as I'm convinced of that, my faith arises. Prophecy takes the place of I hope. Amen. Amen. Prophecy takes the place of I hope. And power takes the place of fear. Power takes the place of fear. Now, I'm not against everything in the Old Testament. You know that. I'm just against the attitude of the people in the Old Testament because I don't live there. Not because they were wrong, because I'm wrong if I try to go there. I'm going to show you something. Even in the Old Testament, prophecy means power. I want to show you God's design for His people to win. It never was on our knees begging. Can I remind you of something? Let's go back to Genesis. God didn't say, I want you on your knees bowing to me. He said, I created you in my likeness and image. And that's when He was standing proud. That's when He was walking and talking in authority, feeling good about what He's done. You hear me? That was His prime, number one desire for us. All the rest, we kind of filled in a lot of that, by the way. In Ezekiel chapter 37, I want to show you. Do you understand that everything in the Old Testament is just pointing to the new? I said this about the tabernacle, the temple. I will say it about every facet of our lives. We started off in perfection, in perfect God's will. We fell from that. We've been trying to walk up those stairs ever since, not just to be saved and stay the same, but not only we are better, the next generation is better than we are. That should be the goal of God. It is the goal of God. It should be our goal. I want to be and I will be. I'll prophesy that until it's true. I'll be better tomorrow than I am today. I won't do that on my belly. My knees can't handle it, so it has to be through prophecy. I don't know if you know this or not, but your knees were not designed to be on. I can get you out here on this carpet and you'll think, well, this is not so bad. I throw just the tiniest speck of rock or pebble and you will get up. We're not designed. These were never designed as cushions. That's why even in church, they sell you knee pads if you want them back here. All right. Ezekiel 37, verse 1. We're going to read through 14. You know the story, but I'm going to remind you in the Old Testament and the New. I don't have enough of these yet. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord. So if we are in the Spirit of the Lord, we're going to be led. And set me down in the midst of the valley, and the valley was full of bones. For all of you that like the valleys, they're full of dead bones. It's not a good place to be. You may pass through, but don't stay there. Verse 2. Then he caused me to pass by them all around. He caused me to pass by them. He didn't say lay down with them. He caused me to pass by them. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, this isn't Jesus. This is you and I. Defines who Son of man is. Son of man, can these bones live? The Holy Spirit would walk up to you. Can you get out of that wheelchair? Would walk up to you. And he would absolutely address whatever problem that's on your heart and say, can that be resolved? Walk to Richard and say, can you see? Can your bank account be full? Can you lay hands on the sick and they will recover? The Holy Spirit is not in the business of commanding you. He's in the business of asking you. Because you, like you say, he's a gentleman. He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, because I am a son of man. I don't know. But aren't I full of power? Oh Lord God, you know. Why? Because he's Old Testament. He didn't know yet. We know. Okay. I need more. Okay. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones then. Here's what I want you to do. Prophesy to these bones. And say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. What are we to prophesy?
Hear the word of the Lord.
So I got to know the word of the Lord, don't I?
Yeah.
Or I can't prophesy. Now God can give me a word, and it is the word of the Lord. But it's always going to coincide with His written word. Now, how are impossible situations going to be handled? And if we don't learn to pray correctly, we will never learn to prophesy correctly. Because they are the same. Verse 5, thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. Can I tell you what just happened? And I don't understand this, but you just read the word of the Lord. What just happened was God could not speak to the dry bones until He had a man that would prophesy to the dry bones. So God will not handle your situation until you learn to prophesy. That word's about 5 or 6 of them. Now you hear me? Your problem will not be resolved until you determine, number one, hallowed or big enough is His name, and number two, can it happen? Just be dumb enough to believe. That's what the world's going to tell you. Just be dumb enough to believe. I'm telling you, they're the fools. You're supposed to know that. That's Scripture, by the way. It's just amazing to me in verse 5 how God got to be a chatterbox right after we said a few words. He just required us to say a few words and He began to, boom, tell that thing to go to blazes. We got the key, guys. I just gave you the key to your entire life. Well, I'm just trying to hammer it different ways, but that is your total answer to life. You speak the Word of God so that God's mouth will fly open and confirm with signs and wonders following. God also said, I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Three steps here. Number one, you prophesy. Number two, God prophesies. Number three, then you will know that I am the Lord. Usually in our lives, we don't have that in order. We start believing strong when we see something. We need just to believe that when we prophesy, all of heaven moves to solve any situation or problem. And all we have to do is be still and know, because we will see. 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. It sounds to me like God nearly prophesied at the same time He did. Because just as soon as He got through or in the process, the bones began to rattle. But it was after God said. A noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them. By the way, any of you got a problem that's further along than dry bones? I can't think of a bigger problem. Just as a human, I can't picture a problem that's any stronger than that. How come I didn't get a couple of them? No, the blessings overtake me, the Bible said. More adornment. Okay. Well, kiddos, this is what God does to you when you do what He asks you to do. You need to know that. And you bigger kids, you need to know that too. As I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them and skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. There was no breath in them. Now I'm going to show you one other key. You never can stop prophesying. See, it looks like the work was done, but it wasn't. It wasn't completed. Don't ask me why. It's a plan of God. Don't ask Him why. Just do it. Then He said to me, you didn't finish the work. Get up out from under that shade tree and get busy. Continue to prophesy. Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. You remember when the dead man Lazarus was there and Jesus said, you're sleeping? You don't know what you're talking about. Don't tell me I don't want to. I smell death. Do what I tell you to do. Or it'll always be according to you. So I prophesied as He commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. And then He said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Now you know what He's saying? When you get through with your little problem, I got a bigger problem I want you to prophesy to. The whole house of Israel. So it never stops, and it's not about you. This was training to get Him to take care of other people also. Okay. So I prophesied as He commanded. I prophesy as He commanded. I prophesy as He commanded. Y'all obey God? You tell me you do. I prophesy as He commanded. How? And breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then He said to me, son of man, these are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say our bones are dry. Our bones are dry. Our hope is lost, and we ourselves are all cut off. Sound like some of y'all? Oh, I got up yesterday and I felt so bad. I couldn't sleep last night, so I slept today. I'm not going to sleep tomorrow, but I'll sleep the next day. I ate and my stomach got upset. I went out to work and everything went to pot. I invested here and I lost that. Woo! You don't know how many times I want to do that. I wonder how many times after Jesus went to the cross and said, it is finished, He wants to puke at the complaining. He'll respond one way or the other, but the response that you want is the prophesied response from His at your prophecy. That's what you want in your life, because that's what takes care of problems. You know what this said? When they said, our bones are dry and our hope is lost, that means we've given up. And God says, you ain't my son. You're not my daughter. My kids don't give up. Depart from me. I don't know you. You ain't going to bum me out. I'm cutting off the relationship. Come on. Don't look at me funny. God issued a decree of divorcement because they had another word. They had another God. What is He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Therefore prophesy and say to them, now listen, do you want to respond correctly to somebody complaining or whining or fussing or yelling or screaming? Do you? Yeah. Prophesy. They said, and He began to prophesy at their, because He knew they were lying. He knew the truth. Prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. Now, I want to see if she doesn't move fast enough, I'll do it myself. Listen to me. See, I got the big one. What He did here, now this is a job that may not come easy, but we've got to learn. In the midst of false prophecy, He prophesied truth. And it helped people that didn't believe God to be raised out of their unbelief or out of the grave. You understand? They were whining and complaining. He wouldn't listen. He just prophesied to the word of the Lord, and they were raised out of their unbelief and given new life. Proof again, it's not all about us. We carry the word to give life and that more abundantly, not just to get life and that more abundantly. Our prophecy is not just about us. It's about others also. Here's what the prophecy was. By this time, God and the man are speaking the same word. You hear me? One thing, God, what will happen when you begin to prophesy instead of whine is your word and God's word will be the same. And so verse 14, I will put my spirit in you and you shall live, and I will place you on your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. This was still Him speaking. This wasn't the Lord speaking, but He knew by now in His spirit that it was the Lord speaking, not Him. When's the last time you got bold enough in the Spirit to begin to pray, prophesy so strongly that you knew it was the Lord speaking? You didn't have any doubt in the matter. Jesus told us over and over how to win. Step one, New Testament prayer and praise. He said it in Matthew 6:9, in this manner therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Well, I've never prophesied before. That is a prophecy. That is not dead bone scripture. When it comes out of my mouth, it will come out of God's mouth. You will see this and hear this in action once you begin to say, hallowed be His name. We just read it. We proclaim who He is, not what our problems are. All right. I'm broke. I'm rich. Which one will you choose? Oh, that's hard, isn't it? Your flesh may be broke. Your understanding may be broke. It may be dry bone and in the grave. But you say, hallowed be His name, who is, owns, will be, and is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. But Stan, I've checked your bank account. No, well, my bank account is in hallowed be His name. Not on a report of some crooked bank. Well, what do you do when it hurts? Oh, what did Jesus do when it hurt? What did Jesus do when it hurt? Did He just continue on? Or did He say,
people are so mean to me. They talk so bad to me. They stab me, stick me, poke me.
Did you say you were Christ-like? The only way I can get more direct with you is pick each and every one of you out and step on your toes individually. You've never had a problem. You've never had a circumstance. You've never had anything done to you worthy of complaining, because that name became above. Hallowed be His name. When you're under pressure, only praise should be squeezed out of you. And only prophesy. They're the same word. Praise and prophecy. Only thing should be squeezed out of you. Even when it's hot outside, you should be proclaiming how cool you are in Christ Jesus. Some of you think I'm full of dry bones. When's the last time you prophesied good instead of tried to preach and set me straight? I happen to know that's the word of the Lord. I remind you again, some meanings of Hallowed. Number one, no needs. They were all defeated. Hallowed means no needs. They're all defeated. That word, Hallowed, means holy. And last week I even introduced to you that means W-H-O-L-L-Y. Not just holy where you can't touch it, but holy where you're complete. It means all healing. Listen, please get this down. I don't care how sick you are or how healthy you are. You don't need any more healing than you already got. In fact, there is no more healing that's available. You can't do what I did to Connie. You can't kick God and get a squeeze a little more healing out.
That's right.
You can't do it. He said it is finished. There is no other word or action. There is no more money available to you than is already available. You can't squeeze anymore. There is no more salvation. And I'm using the words that Hallowed means. There is no more salvation than you've already got. There's no more sanctification than you already can have. All you have to do is prophesy. Did you know those dry bones could get no more life? It was already available. Somebody just had to prophesy it into them. That wasn't new life. That was already available. Even more so now in the New Testament. Healing. Provision. Hey, can I make you a real simple statement? Y'all like water? Did you know there's no new water ever been made since the day God spoke? The same amount of water is here as the day God spoke water. I can go out here on some acreage and there's no water. I can drill a hole and there'll be water. So what brought the water? I invented more water. No. I just tapped into it. What are you saying to Mike? No. Salvation, success, peace, love, war, victory, sanctification, it's all in Hallowed Be Your Name. Change and goodness and favor and honor and glory and boldness and temple and palace and hiding place. Holiness and truth and righteousness and freedom and joy and gentleness and boldness and wisdom and wit and inventions and everything you need in your life. There is no new.
That's right.
It's already there. So how do we tap into it? Prophesy. You can call it pray. As long as you remember, get off your knees and speak the Word of God. Did you know that there's no new Word of God? It's finished. Why is it finished? Because it is finished. It has accomplished everything that can be accomplished. You just need to drill into it and tap into it. Well, you don't know the problem. Let me tell you something. There's nothing new under the sun. Jesus said that every feeling you've ever had in your entire life, and every feeling every human's had in their entire lives, He felt, so there's nothing new under the sun. What does that mean? He didn't just want to feel it or touch it. He wanted to remedy it and cure it. And so it has been done. It has been done. It has been done. My healing has been done. My provisions have been done. My power and authority have been done. I just need to learn how to tap into it. Hallowed be Your name is how to tap into it.
Amen. Amen.
All miracles, all vision, all understanding, discernment, revelation, power, all clarity, money, Anybody here want to be fearless? Jesus taught you how. Do you want to not worry? Do you want to be fretless? Jesus taught you how. He accomplished it and said, prophesy to your old dead bones. And when you get through with that, prophesy to mine. There wouldn't be any dead bones around. Spiritually, physically, financially, mentally, if we were learned to prophesy all over each other. When we speak Hollywood, it gets into our spirit. Did you know your spirit's full of something right now? And in most of our cases, I don't want to step in it. What we have to do is drive out the stink, the stench of death, and replace it with the Spirit of God, the words of God, the life of God, the healing of God. Hallowed be your name. When those words begin to change your spirit, fear flees, faith arises, and mountains move. Now, if there are no mountains moving, guess whose fault it is? I don't mean to be rude, but Jesus didn't fail. And the Word of God doesn't fail.
That's right. Amen.
So if there's any failure, it's generally speaking, let's be real simple first. It's me, but let's get a little more complicated. I'm still too Old Testament and not enough New. I've learned to pray and hide behind, now I lay me down to sleep. And we put God to sleep and we put us to sleep and we all sleep peacefully. Which is really saying, God, I don't want to work anymore. How about you getting back up there on the cross and dying one more time so I won't have to? The French and the Germans are doing that right now. They're saying, peace. We don't want to invest. We don't want to risk. We want you all to do it all. And when it's all over and you blow it, we're going to take the credit. Well, I'm going to prophesy something to you. These people are going to end up looking like the biggest boobs on the face of the earth when this is over. If you're looking for another way than the way I'm speaking it this morning, you're lost without hope. Now, are you bold enough to say that about anything, to anyone? I'll dare you to take this word and say it out loud. There is no other way than this way. When Jesus says, pray in this manner, then there is no other way. By the way, he laid a pretty good example. When he prophesied and prayed, things happened. Now listen, believe it or not, we're getting close to being through. Mark 11, 22, 23, 24. New Testament. Jesus answered them and said to them, you know what they ask? Oh, God, we've been trying all this stuff and it just don't work. Y'all ever heard that before? If you haven't, you haven't been around the church long enough. Church invented that statement. How do I know? Well, here it is in print. They came to him and said, in different occasions, fig tree, casting out devils, different things they tried. It just don't work. What kind of mumbo jumbo voodoo are you using? Jesus said, have faith in God. Oh, my Lord. Can't you come up with something better than that? Well, my Lord says, no. There's nothing better. There's no other way. Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, now look, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea and does not doubt, how do you keep yourself from doubting? Say it right again. If you say it right one time and you catch yourself trying to flee from the right statement, say it again. And when you try to outrun when your flesh wants to want to run away from right, you just follow it with right. If it gets mad and runs off in the bathroom, let that spirit man inside of you follow that flesh man and kill him one more time with the word, with prophecy, with the promise of God, with hallowed be and who he is, his name. Whoever says to this mountain does not doubt, but believes that those... Look at this. But believes that those things he says will come to pass. That's not a capital H. You got to believe what you say. Let me go one step further. You will believe what you say. You have no choice. As sure as the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, you will believe what you say. you will believe what you say. Unless you've become, have a reprobate mind, and I've met people like that, and then they don't know what to believe, so they just lie all the time. Whatever he says will come to pass. He will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you have received them, I'm going to put it correctly, and you have them. What does that mean? Go to God. A good prayer. Oh Lord, help my faith. Fight the unbelief within me with everything within me and everything within you. Kill the unbelief. And teach me to prophesy and thank you for what I already know that I have. And all the rest will be taken care of. Stan, I get tired of hearing you quote that scripture. Here's what I say to you. I get tired of saying it to you and then hear you speak and believe a problem. You don't know how tired I get of that. Hallowed be thy name is speaking the truth. It's speaking the solution. It's speaking the answer. But it never speaks the problem. God rewards those that not only believe, but do. Now, we were in... this thing's got a knot in it. Oh. We were in Louisiana a little while back. And, oh, okay. And it was Mardi Gras season. That's where these came from, by the way. I imported them from a foreign country called Louisiana. And it was Mardi Gras. It was Mardi Gras all over the state. It's too bad that we got Christians can't come up with something we celebrate so viciously and crazily. Now, what's the requirement for getting beads? You got to show yourself. That's all a requirement. Now, I didn't say you had to get naked, but that is God's requirement. We didn't. We just showed up at a parade and somebody threw beads all over. So you show yourself. I have some beads with me today. And I've been getting my beads. Y'all want any?
Yeah.
Any of you kids want any? Then why don't you preach to me just a second what I just preached about? Real short, what did I just talk about? Okay. And I talked to you about prophesying. Here. What? Throw him a bead. I may hit somebody else. What did I shut that for? What does prophecy mean? One of you kiddos, since I used a word you may not be familiar with, what does prophesy mean? No. That can be incorporated in it, but that's not what it means. What did Ezekiel do? On his own, he just said that? Ah. Now we know what prophecy means. It means saying what God tells us to say. And in many cases, according to your word, what He's already written to us. Prophecy is not freelance. Prophecy is not standing up at that pulpit and saying, God wants me to tell you you're all failures. That's not prophecy. Don't be deceived. That's not prophecy. Unless it tells you a way out, it will never be prophecy. Prophecy can be God showing me that you're going to have this tremendous problem, but He's also showing me if you do this and such, you will not have that problem. That's true prophecy, in case you ever want to know what true prophecy is. And a true prophet will always give you a way out. Why? Because the true prophet always gives you a way out. And when he speaks, he's going to give you the whole story, not part of it. Come on, you ought to say amen about that. All right. Let me read some things to you right quick. Two more passages of Scripture. And then I'm going to have you get a chance to win some beads. Acts chapter 10, verse 4. Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. What does a memorial mean? Something that's supposedly eternally remembered. Now, I brought that to you for one reason. Is that God is not like you. He does not forget. He's not like me. He does not forget. I forget. How about y'all? So one thing we can count on is that when we have asked, are presented... By the way, let me make one other statement about this. An alm is something above a tithe. An alm is something beyond more than required. Tithe is required, an alm is beyond that. So is an offering. So what God is referring to in this statement in Acts is you are required to tell me your problems. But you are required to go beyond that. And I want to hear you an offering or an alm of praise.
Amen.
Prophecy. We're required in every circumstance. The Bible says that when you pray for somebody to cast the demon out, if you don't handle it properly, that demon will go out and get seven of his buddies and come back and you're worse than before. So don't leave your little problems on God's doorstep. If you're a true prophet, then you leave the problems and you prophesy the solution right in front of God.
Amen.
And then you don't bring up the problem anymore. You only bring up the prophecy. Because God does not remember, He does not forget the problem until that problem is erased. And it's by your faith it's erased, by the way. You tap into that and boom, all of a sudden you're going to say thank God and He's going to say thank you. There we go. You can help me out there. Leave it on top. Leave my crown. I'm going to say it again. We please God when we mimic Him. We please Him when we mimic Him. How's the best form of mimic? That's to repeat what He's already said. Now, I don't understand this, guys. God doesn't need our help to make things happen. But for some reason, He needs our help. Now, I'm talking to a finite mind, so I may sound like babble. But in reality, He has instituted the fact that He follows up His Word after we speak it. Not just because He's spoken it. I'll take you back to Genesis, and if you will remember, He created and He was pleased and He rested. I dare you anywhere in the Bible where it says He got out of that rest. I still like to picture God in His hammock in the garden. And He hears our words. God, I got a problem. And He says, I'll get up when you say something. And I don't want to hear about your problem. I saw your problems before you ever even knew you had them. And I sent Jesus to take care of them. And He did. And He said it was finished. And I trust my Son. It is finished. There's nothing else. What do you say? God wants to know. What do you say? Listen, I want to go back to Ezekiel again. I want to explain a little bit about this. Ezekiel 16:6. And when I pass by you, this is by the Spirit. This man is hearing God passing by. And when I passed by you and saw you struggling in your own blood, you know what struggling in your own blood means? Now, we're New Testament beings. We're taking Old Testament Scripture. This is what it means. I saw you struggling in your own flesh and you weren't believing the blood of Jesus. When I passed by you and saw you struggling in your own blood, I said to you, in your blood live. Yes, I said to you, in your blood live. You heard me right. I made you thrive like a plant in the field when you listened. And you grew, matured, and became very beautiful. Your breasts were formed, your hair grew, but you were naked and bare. Verse 8, when I passed by you again and looked upon you, indeed your time was the time of love. You're coming to the time of where I can give you your armor. I can give you your beauty. I can give you your sword and your shield. I can place you in a proper position. So I spread my wing over you and covered your nakedness. Yes, I swore an oath to you and entered into a covenant with you. I swore an oath to you and entered into a covenant with you. And you became mine, says the Lord God. When you became mine, verse 9, then I washed you in water. Yes, I thoroughly washed off your blood. And I anointed you with my oil. I clothed you in embroidered cloth and gave you sandals of badger skin. I clothed you with fine linen and covered you with silk. I adorned you with ornaments and put bracelets on your wrists and chain on your neck and a crown on your head. And I put a jewel in your nose, earrings in your ears, and a beautiful crown on your head. Verse 13, thus you were adorned with gold and silver, and your clothing was of fine linen, silk, and embroidered cloth. You ate pastry of fine flour, honey, and oil. You were exceedingly beautiful and succeeded to royalty. Your fame went out among the nations because of your beauty. For it was perfect through my splendor. It was perfect through my splendor. It was perfect through my splendor. We'll never be perfect, but we're perfect through His splendor, which I have bestowed on you, says the Lord God. Old Testament. And God came along through Jesus and made it better. It made it better than this. God wants to adorn us with His beauty and His power, and especially with His name, hallowed, for lifting who He is up and putting our feet on all things that would hinder us. We can't be beautiful and we can't succeed unless we put our feet on our problems and quit letting our problems be on us. You've been given all truth to be more than any enemy. It's time for you to walk in victory. To do this, you must proclaim truth until truth defeats all enemies. You got to do it until it's done. Hey, there are no vacations from what I've been talking about. Not one day, not one hour, not one minute. There are no vacations. Well, Stan, this seems like a lot of work. If you consider praising the Lord a lot of work, yes, it is a lot of work. Tough. There's no other way. But if you'll get to praising God, you'll find out that's no work. That's no work. You must proclaim truth until truth defeats all enemies. Not once, but continually. Y'all can say amen. All right. I want you to stand with me. How many of you got left? Alrighty. How many believe what I've been talking about this morning? The Bible says, we just read it again, that it says that first you've got to say, and then it says you have to, let's just put it in today's English, we have to stand in belief. Believing what? What I said. Now, can I ask you a real simple question? Can you believe something you don't say? According to that word, you can't believe anything unless you say it. I don't understand everything that I say, but I know it to be true. Amen? Now, let's look at something right quick. You kids, do you believe what I say? Do you believe what I preached this morning? Do you believe it enough to say it? All right. How do you pray? Jesus said. Just quote the Scripture to me. See, always quote Scripture when you can. What did Jesus say in Matthew 6:9? Pray this way. Say it out loud. How do you pray? We got time. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. You say it. His name. There you go. What? Now say it. There you go. How about you? Say it again. Hallowed. There you go. Now, where's those other two over there? Give me a... I'm just throwing one color, I think. Oh, well, whatever. Now, you know, I ought to get this off. Y'all would look at me so funny. You... There's another one. What are you saying to me? That's how to pray. It's also how to prophesy. And it's also, do you know it's even giving praise? When you say, hallowed is your name, that's giving praise also, right? Anybody else? Anybody else as big as the children? I didn't hear you say it. How about some more? I heard you. I'm sorry, I nearly hit you. There you go, Richard, right there. You got a gold one. Here, I don't know how to get these off. Here, anybody else? I didn't recognize that voice. Which one? You pick it. You came up for it. You pick it. Anybody else? Now, see, we're getting into some Mardi Gras here. Ain't this cool? Y'all didn't even have to go to y'all didn't even have to go to Louisiana. By the way, y'all can thank McKenzie for this because it wasn't my beauty that got all these beads. It was McKenzie that got these. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, who said it?
Well, I'm these people back here. If they haven't said it.
Well, I want to hear them say it.
Ask them.
Amen. I agree with you. Praise God. Praise God. You guys don't know how much that excites me because I know what doors that's opening. Now, I want my mom to say it. That covers everything, right, Mom? There's nothing else left, right? And I won't give you a broken one. That's for sure. Now, my dad probably thinks this is the goofiest thing he's ever seen. So I got the biggest. Can you say that, Dad? Hallowed be thy name. And so there's nothing else left, is there? See, we got him going. Anybody else? Oh, my glasses are crooked. I didn't hear this one. Good. You going to teach it to your daughter? Good. Give her one of those. How about you? Can you say that? You don't want to say that? Oh, okay. She's got enough. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. How about you, Bill? Praise God. Nobody's. Oh. Anybody miss out? Oh. Hey, they can't see yours, so you better get a gold one. You didn't get one.
I've got three or four sets.
Okay, you don't want to say it?
Why?
Hallowed be thy name.
Hallowed be thy name. Lord, Lord.
Anybody else? Hey, let me tell you something. I'm doing this on purpose. I don't want it just said. I want them to reach out for the jewels. See, that's why we're saying this, is to reach out for the jewels. Can you say it? Where is Bill? Well, here. How about if I just say it for you? Hallowed be thy name. You learn to say that, okay? You learn to say it. Hey, have you got a smaller one? This lot will tip her over. Huh? And that requires your parents to teach you how to speak correctly. Amen? The Word of God. She's going, I don't know. Where is Bill? Oh. This is the way they did it out there. Now, anybody else? You don't have one. Say it.
Hallowed be thy name.
There you go. Now, tie that one, because we got one little one in here that doesn't have one. Huh? I thought we got it all to them. I think we got them all one. Oh, you got one already. Now, anybody here didn't get one? I know that it's not required for you to have this to be blessed. But there's absolutely no reason why you shouldn't bless yourself and get one. Huh? Yeah. Her mom went back and gave her one. Here, you do this. Well, now. Now listen. I don't want you to just stop with Hallowed be thy name, even though you know. Y'all be seated just for about 1-2 minutes. I got to finish this. Now listen to me. That isn't the only thing that God's going to require you to say. Are you hearing me? Hallowed be thy name sets the stage for what is to come. Because, number one, God has spoken. Do you know that God has spoken who He is and hallowed be His name? That's really not up for a vote or interpretation. He's already said, I am that I am. I will be who I will be. And this is who I am and will be. And then He incorporates every provision. Now, here's what you have to do, other than hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in this earth as it is in heaven. Don't you worry about this earth. This earth is going to be exactly like God says. It's this earth that you need to pray about. While you're praying, you ask Him for your daily need. If you'll look that up, it's just basically what keeps you alive today. Do you understand that He's got all the abundance taken care of? You just ask Him for what you need today. And then please, thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power. Thine is the glory. And don't forget this. Deliver me from the evil one. You know why you say that? Because you need to remember there's something after you. And in everything, I'm going to give you the praise. Now, here's what you need to learn to say. Hallowed is thy name. Which means, God, I am healed. I am saved. I am delivered. I can heal. I can save. I can deliver. Come on, get a little bolder than you've been. I can speak the truth. I know the truth and I can speak the truth. I'm set free and I can set others free. I'm more than any enemy. I'm more than a conqueror. Which I don't know what you'd call me if I just call me more than a conqueror. That at least makes me a conqueror, doesn't it? My enemies are defeated. There's more of us than them. You are my Lord of hosts. My enemies are surrounded. Come on. In my mind is all witty inventions. I hold the keys to all wealth and abundance. Come on. Are you Christ-like? Then you got to know who He is and you got to know who He's making you. But if you're going, if you need a quickie, if you need an all-inclusive power statement. Now listen to me. If you need an all-inclusive power statement, hallowed be thy name is it. Anything else is to build you or somebody else. But let me tell you something. You can't say anything more powerful than hallowed be thy name. Amen? Matthew 6:9. All right. All hearts clear? How many of you want to fight? Or how many of you just want to win? See, the winning is done. The only way you can negate it is not stand. That is the fight that you have, is to stand. Our president, with one word, can send 250,000 men instantly into battle. And trillions of dollars worth of equipment. And all on his one word. Where are you? Because Jesus. You can beckon the angels of hell by negative prophecy. You can drive them back to hell and establish all of your enemies being surrounded by hallowed be thy name. Now the one thing I will not do is pump you up. I'll give you truth though, because my promise of the Bible is the truth will set you free. Now it's not my truth that'll set you free, it's that becomes truth in you. That'll set you free. Y'all are gorgeous with all these beads on. I like this. It's cool. I should have brought more. I don't know if I have any more. I think that was all of them. I got to go back to Louisiana. I left more than that with McKenzie. If you ever want beads at Mardi Gras, take McKenzie. She will get them for you. Hallelujah. I didn't bring the toys and the candy and all that, did I? Y'all stand with me. I guess your hearts are clear. But your assignment is also clear. You need to really, seriously, this week, today, tomorrow, the next day, you need to see how many times you can say, hallowed be thy name. Yeah. Run it into the ground. In the meantime, God will give you other things to say because you're putting Him first. Amen? Yeah. Now, everybody in here saved? Yeah. Second question. Everybody in here safe? Yeah. They are different. Are you losing? Some people choose to lose in the midst of truth. Praise you, Lord. Hallowed be your name, Lord. Hallowed be your name. Lord, I thank you for the abundance that came from this message. I thank you the work that it's doing in me, and I thank you the work that it's doing in your people. I thank you that the changes I can hear around the world. I thank you, Lord, by these messages that you've given me on prayer, that I can already hear bones rattle. I can see veins begin to come and muscles go over the bones and skin be able to be formed. Lord, continue us in this study according to your will that causes breath to enter in. Lord, I speak into your people that are hearing the sound of my voice right now. Breath. Breath. In the dead areas, in the dry areas that have been overtaken by the enemy, I speak breath where they now speak your word and that the enemy flees, not just in them, but those that surround them. And that they are exalted around the world according to your word. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We need to see you. We need to know you more. And part of hallowed means to know your character. Hallelujah. Praise your name. We exalt you in this place. We thank you that there are no needs represented here this morning. There are no needs represented here this morning. There's only praise that eliminates the needs. Hallelujah. We repent from speaking problems all of our lives and half the time. Teach us to speak praise, to glorify Your name over every other weapon that's coming against us. We love You, Lord. We love You and we exalt You. Hallelujah. Praise You, Jesus. Teach us to be the mightiest warriors in true praise that there is. We don't care about the music. We don't care about the dance and the shout. We care about what comes out of our mouth that exalts You. We care about it is finished. We care about Jesus Christ as Lord. Praise You, Lord. Hallelujah. God, as we're tempted to turn and look back, thank You that the Old Testament is gone. Thank You that the New Testament is taking place in our lives. It's real in our lives. And that we're not worrying about being destroyed. And we will not turn back. We will just say, praise You, Lord. I don't want anything to do with that lifestyle. I don't want anything to do with people that have that lifestyle. What I want is You and You crucified. What I'm looking for, what I'm hungering and thirsting for. Hallowed be Your name. I'm checking into the Hallowed Inn. All of my needs are met. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. There's no weapon formed against me that prospers. My steps are ordered no matter what anybody thinks. My words are directed and controlled no matter what anybody thinks. That I reside in You and I live with You and I live in You and You live in me. And we give praise continuously. We exalt the Father. We exalt the Father. We glorify the Father. Father, glorify Yourselves in us. Glorify Yourself in us, Lord. So that the world will know that You're real and strong. Use us in that endeavor, Lord. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Hallelujah. And to Thine be the glory. Thine is the glory. Now and forever. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. Everybody that agrees with the prayer, agrees with the message and covenants, to hallowed be Thy name, say amen. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Jesus. Hallelujah.